Hey, Christine, how's it going?
Hey, Lauren, I'm good. I went to New York Comic Con today.
Yeah, how was it?
It was fun. There's oddly like no House of the Dragon anything. It was like this is like the biggest, like the second biggest show on TV right now. I think She-Hulk is ahead of it in a lot of ratings, which I get because She-Hulk's like more accessible. There's a lot of rape and murder in this. Anyway, that was beside the point. There's like no House of the Dragon presence.
It's still early.
Yeah.
You know, people need time to come up with stuff. But I did hear that you saw a House of the Dragon cosplay.
Yeah. I saw one cosplay, one Rhaenyra. I gave her some stickers and pins and swag from our podcast. So if you're joining us now, Rhaenyra, welcome. But yeah, I was just surprised. There were no like actors there from the show. There were no panels about it. There wasn't really a lot of merch. It was like it wasn't happening. I like applied for a press pass for this podcast and they rejected me. But I think it's because I said, they're like, what's your coverage of this convention going to be? And I was like, I'm going to cover all the House of the Dragon stuff. And they're like, we don't have any of that. But it was fun. We did like a Star Trek Family Feud trivia thing with this. It's called Gaze in Space. But they're like a LGBTQ like advocacy organization that's also really into Star Trek. So we did like a Family Feud game with them and then hung out with Claudio Sanchez from Coheed and Cambria and his wife, Chandra, who writes. Yeah, she like writes the comics. So did some non-Game of Thrones nerdy stuff today. And then came home and did some Game of Thrones nerdy stuff.
Turns out we're both nerds with lots of things. I went for a run today. I raced in a race today.
Nice. How'd you do?
Well, I signed up for it yesterday, and I haven't run since August 6th. So.
Oh, my gosh.
I did fine. yeah, I don't know. I just, my husband was running, and he went to go do his packet pickup yesterday, and they were still open for registration. I was like, I guess I'll do it. That's what I did today. Hey, listeners, I don't know why you're still here, because you don't even know what this is, but it's Pod of the Dragon.
Welcome! We are a podcast about House of the Dragon, mostly now, but also Game of Thrones and everything that goes on in Westeros.
That's exactly right. Today we're going to be talking about House of the Dragon, Season 1, Episode 8. We just watched it. But first, a couple housekeeping items. I believe you have some Corrections Corner stuff for us.
Yeah, I have a few this week. The first one is...
That it was dark as shit?
It was dark as shit. Everybody else thought it was dark as shit. I don't know. Maybe I have good night
Christine,
vision
in
something.
The last episode we recorded, Christine thought that episode 7 was not dark and that she could see it just fine. And everyone else on the internet was like, I can't see shit, including me.
Maybe I just have special eyes. But yeah, everyone else seemed to have the same issue. I did not. So sorry. also... Syrax, Rhaenyra's dragon, we said he on the last one, but she is a girl. It's a girl dragon, and she laid eggs in this episode, so I feel like that was made more clear, but I had this here before. We were wondering about how, like, the age difference between Daemon and Viserys, because Viserys is falling apart. Canonically, they're only 4 years apart.
Well, and then that tracks, too, because, like, they looked... like a similar age at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, so it's not that Viserys is so much older. He's just really sick.
Yeah, and being murdered by the weight of being the king and literally by the Iron Throne.
Mm-hmm. And then the other thing, I think the biggest one is we were wondering the last episode where they got the body in the fire. And when I went back and watched it again, it looks like there's a scene where Damon runs up to a guard and chokes him out.
Yes.
I'm guessing that's who the body is.
Yeah.
Like watching the scene, knowing what's going to happen, I picked up on that stuff, but thinking that they were just like going to kill Lainor, it just didn't. I'm like, oh, he's just knocking out the guard. So yeah, that's my corrections corner.
You'd think someone would notice that guy was missing.
Right?
Like, at least another guard would be like, hey, bro didn't show up for his shift.
Right? You know? Like, doesn't seem right. Maybe he was a new guy?
Not a little sus?
It's very sus. The whole thing was very sus. I'm surprised they got away with it. I also had an update. Apparently Rihanna has come out as Team Green.
Ah, fuck, I liked her.
I know. She's wrong.
She's wrong.
Sorry, Rihanna. I think it's funny that like celebrities are tweeting their allegiances now.
Wait, do you know any other celebrities that have done this?
That's the only one I saw anything about.
If you're a celebrity and you want to come on our podcast and talk about what team you are, let us know.
Tell us what team you're on.
Or just anyone. You guys can email us at podofthedragonpodcast@gmail.com. We want to know what team you're on.
And tell us why.
We will make fun of you if you're Team Green, but you still will get on our podcast. So
yeah, you're allowed to be wrong and still be on the podcast.
You are allowed to be wrong.
All right. So today we are talking about episode 8 of House of the Dragon. So what do we got for spoilers and content warnings today?
Well, spoiler alert is the huge. Christine and I have read the books. I kind of remember reading Fire and Blood. But I definitely, a lot of times, I'm like, I think I remember this. And then also, like, the whole book is kind of like, this might have happened or this might have happened. So it's not going to be, like, crazy with the spoiler alerts from the books, but we do have some. Also, we'll be talking about, you know, the entire season so far, everything up through the end of episode 8. Sometimes we bitch about Game of Thrones, which apparently there's a group of people who are watching House of the Dragon who didn't watch Game of Thrones. So if you're one of those, I feel like we're probably going to bitch about the end of Game of Thrones today again.
Yeah, we probably will. It came up.
It came up.
I feel like you might have enjoyed, I almost feel like you can enjoy, I don't know. There's certain times I feel like I would enjoy House of the Dragon better without watching Game of Thrones, but then also I feel like I wouldn't have even gotten into it in the first place.
Yeah, that's true. Content warning. So we always like to say the content warnings that you really need are for what happens in the show. If you watched that and you're fine with, you know, watching that and you're here, we're not going to say anything worse than that, but we are going to talk about what happened in the show. And today that includes violence, incest, and rape. Rape is back in Game of Thrones.
Fun. The trifecta.
Well, let's talk about this episode.
Let's do it.
First of all, maybe this should have gone in the corrections corner too, but I don't fucking know what the intro thing is about.
I can't tell either.
Because it did look like Viserys' little thingy overflowed with the blood, mm-hmm. and he does die at the end of this, which is a huge spoiler, but the show already spoiled it for us because fuck you guys. We'll talk about that more. But it looked to me like Daemon's was like full also. So I thought that it was when the little symbol overflows, that's when the character died, but I don't know if that's true.
I didn't notice that Daemon's was.
Maybe I missaw it. I don't know. I just don't know what that is.
I did have a moment at the beginning of the episode when we see Rhaenys, but it's like from behind. So you just see the top of her head because she's like on the throne. And she says, like, I haven't seen my lord husband in 6 years. For like 5 seconds, I thought it was Rhaenyra. And I was like, oh, no, what happened to Daemon? And then I realized it was Rhaenys. And I'm like, oh, OK. Because like then they spun the camera around and you saw who it was. But at first I just saw like the Targaryen wig. I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah. So it was a little unclear to me. Did Corlys actually die in this episode?
I am confused. It seemed like he got injured and he was missing. But when they do find him, the chances of him surviving his injuries is pretty low.
I think he has some kind of like syphilis or something, it sounds like.
It seems.
He has some kind of like fever.
Scurvy.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe that.
Pirate stuff. seems like he's either already dead or they think he will be soon.
Yeah. It's unclear to me. He wasn't in the spoiler reel at the end of the episode, was he?
No, so I don't know.
I'm just gonna call it a spoiler reel now, the
The
little like peek
scenes
into
from the
next
next
week.
episode. Yeah, it's a lot of spoilers.
So I don't know for sure if he died, but obviously there's a lot of to do about him possibly dying in this episode. And then, of course, Patty, King Viserys.
Yeah, and there's another Valerian who definitely dies, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, we will. In the meantime, Dragonstone, the real hot D.
What about it?
That's where we go next. So basically, we're over at Dragonstone, and
Oh, we learn where dragon babies come from.
yeah, okay, I had some notes about
There's like
this.
a weird sack, like almost like a xenomorph. I don't know. I didn't
Okay, so
like
yeah,
it.
we've heard like in the books and in the shows, a clutch of eggs has been said before. Why is it in goo? What is this? Do they like, is it so that they can shit their eggs out from a great height? Do they bear their eggs in the sky? Like, what the fuck?
I thought it was like a dragon placenta. Like it was like to like keep them warm and protected.
That's not how eggs. I mean, it
But then
was
the
hot.
placenta, like, but yeah, but it would be inside the egg. That's how eggs. I don't know. It's very confusing. I'm guessing it was just like to keep it warm and like protected.
I don't know. It was gross.
Didn't feel necessary. I'd feel better if the dragon had like a nest, like a hoard,
Yeah.
and like a bird would or a reptile.
Well, I just assumed because, like, how the Targs always keep them, like, on fires. I was like, oh, the dragon will just, like, keep a fire going and lay its eggs in the fire.
That makes a lot of sense. No, thanks. I do like Rhaenyra more and
She's
more. Like
preggo.
this more episodes I see with Emma D'Arcy, the more I'm into it. I love the dress she's wearing in this scene.
She has, like, a hot voice, too.
She does have a hot voice. I'm into her. And she's pregnant with a little baby Damon. Or a Damon baby. He's Daddy Damon.
Yep. He seems like chill in this episode now that he's married to her.
Yeah, he's like not as crazy.
Yeah, they both like are very like it feels like they both are gonna make crazy decisions still, but they're very steady together.
Yes, I think so. Yeah, he's still brutal
Yeah.
and conniving, but he's not like a loose cannon.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so like the main plot of this episode seems to be that since Corlys died, they're arguing about the succession of Driftmark. And I wrote here, like, I know I like mentioned early on, like, why don't we ever hear about Driftmark in Game of Thrones? Like, who's there now? And I feel like maybe we're gonna learn that because there's a lot of just like contention and drama around it. So basically, it should technically go to Rhaenyra and question mark, air quotes, Laenor's son, second son Luke, Lucerys. But Corlys's brother is like, this is bullshit. Those kids are not related to me. Like, this is my family's throne and it should go to me. So that's the basic drama of this episode. And Rhaenyra knows that if the parenthood of her children is brought into question again, it's going to threaten her succession. It's going to threaten pretty much everything. So she can't risk that. So they are going back to King's Landing.
Yeah, so King's Landing, no more sexy dragon banners.
All the porn has been removed.
Replaced by
Religious
Jesus shit.
imagery. Yeah, Jesus shit. Because Alicent hates fun.
Alicent, yeah, so I mean, this was something that was interesting. I think maybe to book folks it's more obvious. But they talk about it in the after the episode how the Targaryens weren't originally like the Church of the Seven existed in Westeros, and then like the Targaryens come in, but they're not really part of that, which is why the whole like incest thing is like not totally accepted in Westeros. But the Targaryens are like, oh, like the church will make an exception for us because they don't actually believe in it. So yeah, she's basically like redecorated everything with her religion that isn't a part of the family that lives in the castle, technically.
Yeah, and taking out a lot of their like dragon art and dragon sex art and shit.
Which I guess is the Targaryen religion, dragon sex.
It's how they got their powers.
Yeah, fucking dragons.
And Viserys' model train set is covered in dust.
Yeah.
He never got to finish it.
He never did. Does anyone who makes a model train set ever get to finish it?
I don't know.
I feel like it's just an unending project. It's the point of a model train set, I think.
Always. He is looking pretty Gollum in this episode.
He is indeed. He's looking pretty Gollum, pretty skeleton. So one of my early notes on this page though says, "Ew, Aegon is a rapist, of course."
Of course he is. I put he's a rapist now. Horrible.
He's basically like everything Allison wouldn't want in a son, except for he has the correct blood.
Yes, absolutely. But she's like also like, ugh, I hate her. She's like victim blaming and trying to cover for him while at the same time being ashamed of him.
Yeah, ugh, everything she does is nasty. She very much, she's like, has this sense that everything she does is moral and correct, and like she's an upstanding member of the church, but like as soon as there's anywhere for her to turn a blind eye, she will.
Yeah, she's a major hypocrite. She's like paying off rape victims.
Yeah, and she had that bag of money and that moon tea ready to go, so you know that's not the first time.
That's a good point. And she says something to him too, like, I can't believe you're still doing things like this.
Yeah, so he is raping everyone up in here.
Hide your sister, hide your cousin, hide your handmaid, because he's raping everybody out here. Ugh.
So, of course, he's a rapist. Alicent is a walking oxymoron hypocrite. She's a huge bitch. Everything about this made me hate her even more. I don't know how anybody could be
Same.
Team Green.
She's such a bad dad.
She's such a bad dad. And she just like gives women a bad name. So, I don't know who these Team Green people are, but they should stop.
She does. Like, she's just very, like, holier than thou.
Yeah.
And, but then is also does fucked up shit and, like, makes exceptions for the people that she thinks are on her side and is gonna benefit her. So, like, she pretends like she has these strong values and morals, but at the end of the day, only when it's self-serving or serving to her house and, like, her family does she actually make decisions based on those values and morals. Otherwise, she's just, like, judging other people.
Also, we talked in the previous episode about how she is super verbally abusive to all of her kids, but she also hits Aegon in this episode.
Yeah, I think she did in the last one, too. She's super abusive. Why is he always naked?
He's always
He's
naked.
always naked, and he's also always naked in scenes where she's yelling at him, which, like, feels.
Inappropriate as fuck.
It was uncomfortable to me in the first scene, and now it's, like, even more uncomfortable because he's an adult. Like, I feel like she should come in and be like, make yourself decent. Like, I need to talk to you.
No, they're just like used to talking to each other while he's naked, which is not okay for an adult child and his mother.
Yeah, it's very inappropriate. And not in a way that I think, like, I mean, there's a lot of incest in the show, so I feel like I need to clarify. Like, it doesn't seem like a way where she's, like, weird to him towards that. It's just showing, like, how enmeshed they are and that they have no boundaries with one another. Like, things that would, like, normally be a normal, appropriate boundary with families, she just, like, has none. Like, she's, like, very intrusive on these kids. She's very, like, pushing her agendas and her morals onto them. And he even, like, says it at some point where he's just like, I didn't ask for this. You did this, you know, like, you're the one that's putting me in this position. I don't want to be king. I don't
Yeah.
want to do any of this. But yeah, and she's so extreme with that that she's just like walking in on him naked and just like talking to him when he's butt naked. She's involved in his sex life. It's like very fucked up.
Well, and you can tell that like she's done this so much that it's become normalized to him because in the previous episode when he was a teenager and she walked in on him masturbating, he like tried to hide basically like in his sheets. And this time he like didn't do that. He was just like, this is every day for me. My mom's in here while I'm naked. Fucking not okay. So then we skip over to the training yard where the strong children are, strong Valyrian babies, whatever you want to call them. They are there. They look like hobbits.
They do. I didn't think that I,
They
yeah.
have their little like cloaks from the elves on, and they're short and they have dark hair. They look like hobbits. So anyway, they're there. They go to like look at all the weapons, and then we basically hear this commotion, and it's Aemond and Kristen Cole, who has not aged a day in the entire season, even though everyone else
I
has.
was gonna say that. That was like in my notes. Like, how is he not aged? Like, I know, like, Damon hasn't super aged. Like, it's just Matt Smith and they don't do a lot, but like, they at least, like, they change his hair so you can tell that time has gone by. Kristen Cole has looked like the same.
They changed his hair a little, but he also was supposed to be younger than Damon. Like, Damon was a full adult the whole time. But when we met Kirsten Cole, my impression was that he was like a early 20s kind of a guy.
Yeah, I thought he was closer to Rhaenyra's age.
Yeah. And if not, that whole sex scene just got a lot creepier.
Yeah, but I always thought they were, like, around the same age. Like, she saw him when he was, like, first starting. He did have combat experience, though.
He had combat experience.
But also, like, Laenor did. Like, Laenor went to battle when he was, like, 15. He was, like, riding Sea Smoke.
That's true.
Stepstones.
He could have been a baby when he was combating.
Yeah.
Who knows? Just thought I would call that out. But anyway, yeah, him and Aemon are having a little pretend battle, except he's using, what do you call that thing?
Like, the, like, ball and
chain situation.
Ball and chain situation.
I don't know what it is. Oh, a mace, I think.
A mace.
Anyway, he's using that, which, like, definitely would kill him if he hit him in the head. Am I wrong?
Yeah, it doesn't seem right. But except that Aemon is, like, he's half daredevil now. Like, he seems like he has this, like, way that he's dodging and he's moving and I put half daredevil because he's got, like, one good eye, but it also seems like he's had to, like, increase his other senses because his depth perception's pretty good here for, I don't know why I'm going on about
for
this.
For a one-eyed person, yeah.
Fucking
yeah.
Matter. But you know what I mean? It seems like he's been, like, training to compensate for the fact that he lost an eye, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, for sure. He's very talented with the sword fighting. He also, where the fuck do they keep finding these creepy-ass Targaryen actors?
Who do you mean?
Both of them.
Oh, like the two boys? I don't know.
They're great. Great casting. I love it.
It's very great casting.
The one problem, though, with those two for me is that Aegon looks way younger than Aemon. And
I thought that, too. That's why I was confused. Like, the eye patch makes it, you can tell him apart. But yeah, he does look a lot younger. I would have been confused otherwise.
Well, also, we had the context clue of Aegon being naked all the time to connect them. So
that's true. Rhaenys is the baddest bitch, I've decided.
Oh, we have a scene where we get Rhaenys, Rhaenyra, and Rhaena for like 30 seconds together, just in case anyone wasn't confused. So they're all there for a hot sec, then Rhaena leaves. But yeah, Rhaenys, you want to say anything about her being the baddest bitch?
She's just the baddest bitch. Like, she just doesn't take shit. Like, she's just very, like, telling Rhaenyra what it is. Like, I think you killed my son. And Rhaenyra's like, I didn't. And she's like, not even, like, entertaining the conversation. Like, you know, it's almost like she doesn't have a snapback because she doesn't need to. Because she's just like, I don't need this shit. I don't need to entertain this conversation. I'm walking away. And I think, like, one of my beef with this episode is that, like, she should have had claim to Driftmark. Like, Corlys's thing this, like, entire fucking time has been that she should have inherited the Iron Throne. So then, like, why didn't he make it so that his wife would inherit his throne in the event of his death? And how come no one was saying, like, well, yeah, like, Rhaenys should have it until she dies, because also this is a kid, you know? Like, let's let her do it.
Yeah, fucking stupid.
It's really stupid because he was all about, like, women should be able to rule. It's fine. So is Viserys.
Right.
And yet no one's being like, hey, yeah, maybe you should just, like, keep your position. Because you've also been doing that for 6 years while your husband's in off at war. You've been running shit. So you clearly can. It's very dumb.
It's really stupid. Especially, I mean, we know that she called him out previously on being like, you say that you want me on the throne, but really not. So, like, there is that aspect of it. Given that he was all, like, conflicted about what to do with the line for the throne. Like, he said the whole thing about name over blood and whatever, but it seemed like it wasn't a clear choice to him either. So, like, why would you not do that next? I don't know. Anyway, lots of hypocrites, as we said, including Corlys, who may or may not be dead. Should we talk about Paddy, King Viserys?
Tell me about Paddy.
He's full of holes. I mean, we've said before.
What does he have?
He has the Iron Throne.
But, like, his eye?
Yeah, why not? He has politics.
Like, what is the, like, what is this disease he has where he keeps getting, like, massive holes?
He's sick with the politics. No, literally, his kingship is killing him. That's why it's not anything really specific. It's just he's dying from being king.
But there's specific holes in his face.
Hey, I know science, but this is Game of Thrones, and the throne has said no to him. Yeah, so he's full of holes. He has like a gaping wound in the side of his face, which you don't actually see right away, but eventually. He's missing an eye. When we see his back at one point, there's like black holes in it, which that can't be good.
So I'm saying he's just like rotting
He's
from
rotting,
the
yeah.
inside out. Like it must be like my guess is just that like original cut on his finger that we saw in the first episode, just like he had an infection and it just has spread through his whole body. And like the maesters have done everything they can to like keep him alive, but they like can't stop the rot. That's my guess.
Yeah, I mean, again, which is saying that the Iron Throne is what's killing him.
Yeah, it's too bad they weren't there when Khal Drogo died. They probably would have kept him alive a whole lot longer,
God.
the infected wound.
Yeah. That's what you get for trusting witches, I guess. So then Patty eventually shows us, well, okay, first of all, Daemon and Rhaenyra keep like asking him to be like, you gotta stand up for us, you gotta stand up for us. And it's like, on the one hand, like, yeah. Because he doesn't actually like to pick sides ever. On the other hand, he's like basically dead. Like, what are you.
Yeah, and he seems to have some dementia too. Like they're trying to explain this to him, and he's like, "Yeah, Otto and Allison do that now." And they're like, "We need your help. We need your help." And he's just like, "Damon, is that you?" Like he's just like he can't even compute what's happening. Yeah, he was very excited for like a second to meet his grandkids. Who are they,
Oh,
twins
can I talk
too?
about how traumatizing this must be for these kids?
Yes, they're like screaming
Yeah.
the
Because, like, he's creepier than any real old person. Super creepy, scary looking. My little sister's first memory is from when she was about that age meeting my great grandma. Because my great grandma, like, was 100 or whatever and looked like a skeleton. So my sister's first memory is of meeting her. And I'm
Oh my
like, this is
God.
exactly what's happening to these children right
Yeah.
here.
Why is everyone named their kids Aegon? Aegon.
Yeah,
There's
that
too many
part.
Aegons. Like, I get it. He's the conqueror, whatever. Like, find a new name. It feels weird to name your kid your brother's name.
Yeah, because that is her brother.
It's her brother's
I
name.
keep forgetting that that's her brother.
And your brother's still alive. And he's, like, not that much younger than you.
But
Weird.
it is a kingly name, so she wants to make sure she has got the kingly names and the fam.
That's true. I guess she is. It's like her sixth and seventh kid. She's running out of names. There's an Aegon in there somewhere. And then if it was a girl, it would have been a Rhaena or a
Weird
something.
that she didn't name her first few kids Targaryen names.
No, they're like Jacerys and
I guess they kind of are.
Lucerys. Yeah.
But like if you were eventually gonna throw in an Aegon and a
And a
Viserys,
Viserys.
it's weird that you didn't start with those,
It's a good
right?
point.
It's kind of like naming your sixth kid Viserys Jr.
Yeah, that is
Like
weird.
what?
Maybe she just like now that her dad's like dying, she wanted to honor him.
I guess.
Because earlier she was still pissed off at him.
Yeah. So anyway, eventually let's skip ahead to the or I guess we've been skipping around a bit, but let's talk about the throne room scene. First of all, is it normal for the Hand of the King to sit physically on the throne when the king's not there?
Does Ned Stark do that in the first season of Game of Thrones when
I
the king's
can't
hunting?
remember.
I
I was
think he
thinking about
does.
this.
I think he does. But I did write in my notes, "Fuck you, Otto Hightower. Get off the throne, you fuck."
Yeah, so I wanted to like figure out if that was a thing or not before I like got too mad about it
I
because
think it is a thing, but it still
yeah.
makes me feel some type of way.
Still don't like it, yeah. So he's on the throne and then there's like it basically starts off with what feels like the fake court situation like Tyrion's trial where it was like everyone in the room disagrees with you, so like why are we even here? But then somehow Patty can walk. Did not see that
The
coming.
Phantom of the Red Keep has arrived. Dun, 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 dun. Oops.
That mask is so creepy.
He's got like a Phantom of the Opera mask on, but it's gold because he's the
Yeah.
king.
Yeah, because it's covering up the holes in his
The
face.
holes in his face. Yeah.
He takes like 20 minutes to walk to the throne and they show all of it. So that's a fun scene, but it is actually like very tense. It makes you like feel the tension in the room. Alicent and Otto basically both shit their pants because they didn't see that coming at all.
Yes, my husband was making comments about that part. He was just like, I guess they drew this out because they needed more content for this episode. And I was like, oh, this episode is actually like long. It's like over an hour. And he was like, yeah, because it's all this scene.
It was a long scene.
It was very long. He takes a really long time to walk across the floor. I thought also the scene with Damon was really powerful, I thought, where Damon tries to help him and he's like, no, I don't need it. And they kind of have this, like, exchange.
Well, Otto tries to help him first, and he tells Otto to fuck off. And then when Damon comes up, he's like, okay, I'll accept the help.
Yeah, and at first he wants to tell Damon to fuck off, but then, like, they just, you know, they make eye contact, and Damon looks like he's sincere and wants to help, which is weird for Damon.
I don't think he knew it was Damon at first, too. I think he thought it was Otto again, because he said, I told you I don't need help. And then he was like, oh, it's not the same person.
Yeah, and then he lets Damon help him, and I feel like it's kind of a reconciliation for those two brothers who've had this, like, very strained relationship the entire show.
Well, although Viserys has always been very willing to forgive his brother.
Yeah, I guess so in the last episode, yeah.
But yeah, that was very touching, and you can tell that, like, I mean, it's really sad for Damon, because like you said at the beginning of this, they're not that far apart in age,
no.
But clearly his brother is dying. Like, he doesn't have that much time left with him.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like canonically, that's a funny word, canonically, but like in the books, he was pissed off that Rhaenyra and Daemon married in secret. They didn't like show that. We did a time jump in this episode, but I'm assuming that like that was another, because they had like been in Dragonstone for years. They hadn't visited. So I feel like there's just probably still a lot of contention between them, even if Viserys is usually more willing to forgive. So this was like a nice reconciliation.
Yeah, so then Patty, he does the most like standing up for his decisions in this episode that he's ever done, which is still like not as much as it should be. Because when he first started talking after he sits down on the throne, he's like, hey, you know, why is this an issue? Because like it's settled. But instead of just saying it's settled and it's this person who gets the airship, he basically hands it off to Rhaenys, whose decision is not necessarily known to him. Like, he doesn't actually know for sure what she's gonna say. So it's kind of his normal bullshit where he's like, you know, he sort of wants everyone to be friends and wants to pretend there is no tension within the family. So he's just like, well, she's here. Like, here, you can talk, though. I'm not going to say anything.
Why can't we all just get along like we did in middle school? Yeah. He's very, yeah. So he, like, passes off to Rhaenys and was like, did you know more about what your husband wanted than the rest of us here do? And I was surprised by her answer. And I'm, like, wondering what you think about why she did that.
Yeah. So I kind of wasn't sure after, like, because with her conversation with Rhaenyra, she was very closed and basically seemed like she wasn't going to accept Rhaenyra's proposal. But I don't know. At the same time, she had kind of said the same thing to Vaemond. At the same time, at the beginning of the episode when she's talking to Vaemond, she basically says the same thing that she says in the throne room now, which is that he's not the fucking heir and Lucerys is the heir. So on the one hand, it seems like she didn't really want to get along with Rhaenyra. And on the other hand, we kind of knew where she was coming from with this. So I wasn't like super surprised. I was surprised that she brought up the proposal thing to some extent. But I think in that moment, if she's going to say like, hey, yeah, I think this kid should be the heir like my husband wanted, then that gives her allies by doing that too.
Yeah, and I think that might be what changed her mind, because she ultimately did want Lena's kids on the throne too, or like, you know,
yeah, that's
leading
true,
Driftmark
did.
To honor them. So this seems like the best way to do that without
like she gets to blowing bring her up actual the lines blood of succession. Back in. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And it's like it's sort of a compromise, because even if you do argue like that Rhaenyra's children are bastards, their children will still be Valyrian because they're related to Lena.
It's like a sneaky way of, like, she knows that she could never actually get her way of getting Baela and Rhaena onto the Driftmark throne without her husband having said that, like she asked a couple episodes ago. But, like, she can sneaky just marry them to someone and get them on there, you know?
Yeah, like, so that was what I thought her motivation was. I thought she was still like, fuck you, Rhaenyra, but also, like, I'm going to do this to take care of my daughter's children, because, you know, that's going to honor her legacy.
Yeah. Also, okay, Going back to that, though, when she asks, when Rhaenyra asks Rhaenys about that proposal, why does she have to ask her? Because she's married to Daemon, who is the father of those children.
I don't know. That's a good point.
That's kind of a little bit of a plot hole to me.
It is, yeah. Because it's like, why would you ask the grandmother and not like
it's not really
dad,
her decision.
Who's your husband?
I know that like at least one of them is her ward, but it still doesn't, it's still
your
not
ward.
Her
yeah.
decision that I'm aware of.
That's a really good point. So it seemed like it was just to be a white flag, but I feel like she could have just done that anyway and been like, well, like my kids are going to marry your grandkids. So do you want to fuck up their lives too? You may as well be friends.
Yeah. Anyway. So she makes this call in the throne room, and then Vaemond gets mad.
He's so annoying in this because he says things like, I will not allow it. Like, who are you? Like, you make questionable decisions. Who are you to make decisions about my house? And I'm just there like, the king. Like, that's
He's
what
the
kings,
king.
It's what kings do. Like, yeah, monarchy's kind of stupid that one person can make decisions for everybody else, but, That's
exactly
we got.
What it is.
That's
yeah.
what a king is. Like, he absolutely has the right to do that. And he's just like, I will not allow it. What right do you have? And it's like, literally all the right. He's a fucking king. That's why you came here. Like, it was very stupid.
Yeah. Well, and then, like, obviously what he does is dumb.
He just gets
finally, verbally, loudly, in front of everyone who's important, somebody calls Rhaenyra's kids bastards, which... If he already knew he wasn't getting anything he wanted, mm-hmm. he probably, with his position, didn't expect to die for this. He probably expected that he would be punished, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But he probably didn't expect to die for it. And he kind of was like, well, if I'm not going to get what I want, I might as well, like, fuck up this other person's plans.
I guess, yeah. Or, like, thinking that somehow...
But he forgot Daemon was in the room.
I mentioned last week I referred to Rhaenyra as a problematic queen, and I'm adding to that this week. I said her whole thing is gaslight, gatekeep, girl boss is her whole strategy in this show. Like,
definitely.
That is her. Like, I'm so pro-blacks, but at the same time, I'm just like, yeah, all these people are correct. Like, it's very obvious. They're just, like, high-key gaslighting everyone and being like, why would you say that they're not his kids? Like, they're not. Like,
they're clearly not his kids.
They're absolutely not.
We all have eyes.
So it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, Vaemond is correct. Like,
yeah, he is.
He's being an idiot. I don't want him to have the throne, but like, he's not wrong. Like, those people are not related to his brother.
Yeah, no, he's not wrong.
So it's, gaslight, gatekeep, girl boss, Rhaenyra Targaryen.
You gotta be careful who you're talking to, even if it's true. When you're
it's
in
true.
The Seven Kingdoms, so.
I loved that scene, though. It was very funny to me. He's just, like, in the middle of talking and just head go fly.
Yeah. It was a pretty brutal death. I don't think it's going to win or anything, but I feel like it should be on the brutal death track.
I was wondering if you'd think that. I think so, too.
Yeah. His head literally got sliced in half. That is some Valyrian steel shit right there. His head
it really
is butter.
Is. Yeah, that's why you don't call Daemon's wife a whore when he's standing behind you. That's the thing. He called the kids bastards, which is a fucked up thing to do, but he's not wrong. But then he had to double down and call Rhaenyra a whore. Like, she's the heir to the Iron Throne. Like, what are you doing?
That was excessive.
That was excessive. And he lost him his head. Sucks to suck.
Again, listeners, we're keeping track of all the brutal deaths that happened so we can rank them at the end. You know how Game of Thrones things are.
Mm-hmm.
And also we're keeping track of the bad dads from this show, because also how Game of Thrones things are, all the dads in this world are horrible. We're gonna let you know which one's the most horrible.
Our bad Viserys was a pretty good dad in this show, I've noticed.
Yeah,
in this episode
he's fine.
He
yeah in this
up.
Episode he's all right.
Yeah, he showed up for Rhaenyra, so he knows he's gonna die, and he plans this little family dinner with all the people who hate each other, and it's kind of like, I'm all about to die. Guys, can we all get along? And most people are like, yeah, okay. And Aemon's like, no.
Yeah. So, I mean, okay. I feel like everyone in this room used to get along at some point. Like, Allison and Rhaenyra used to be BFFs, maybe lesbian lovers, whatever. That's our canon, at least. And Damon's at one point or another been friends with everyone in there. And then, like, the kids used to, they grew up together, so they were friendly at one point. So I feel like there's some genuineness to the 2.5 minutes where they're all getting along. It's sort of like, yeah, they all know that they're going to murder each other in 10 minutes when Patty dies or leaves the room, whichever happens first. But, like, I don't think it's all fake either. Like, they used to get along. There are, like, some feelings of goodwill somewhere buried deep down inside. So I feel like there's, like, a little bit of genuineness to the 5 minutes of happiness that we get.
I think you're right. I think when Alicent first said to Rhaenyra, like, you'll make a great queen, I thought that was just for appearances, to save face. But then there's another scene, like, about a minute later where she, like, or I think it's after all the drama goes down. She, like, grabs Rhaenyra's arm, and it's, like, very gentle and friendly and, like, you know, affectionate the way that they used to be, and says, you know, that she doesn't want her to leave and apologizes to her. And that, like, feels very genuine. Like, it seems like for a minute, she's like, I might have my friend back.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think she had it thought through of, like, how that would end, because, like, ultimately there's no way she wasn't going to go back to trying to get her kid on the throne, I don't think.
Yeah, this is a very sweet scene for all. Everybody's dancing, everybody's drinking, everybody's enjoying each other, the kids, the adult, I mean, the adult kids, but, like, the younger generation, the older generations, the generation before that. It almost felt like the show Outlander, like, they have scenes like that where it's like music, everyone's drinking, and it's very lovey and blah, blah, blah. Game of Thrones doesn't do that shit. So I knew something was about to go down. I was honestly expecting worse. I kind of thought that Aemon had poisoned the strong boys for a minute. Did you think that when he has the cup?
I did not, but I could see. I mean, there's always the threat of poison in this world.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, though, before that all, like, gets a little cray, when they're all going around and giving the toasts, we talked before about Helena maybe being on the spectrum, and she proves in the best and most endearing way in this episode she is.
She absolutely is. Oh.
I love it.
She's, like, unfortunately married to, like, the fuckboyest fuckboy in Westeros, and she deserves better.
She's like, marriage is fine. Your husband just ignores you.
Unless, like, sometimes when he gets drunk.
It's like, fuck, okay.
She's also bonded to Dreamfire, who is our favorite dragon. So, I mean,
I feel like Dreamfire, she must be cool, picks the best people to bond with. So
she does. She's only I think she only has two riders canonically, and it was the original Rhaena, lesbian Targaryen, awesome lady, and then Helena, neurodivergent
also is
queen.
Seeming pretty cool.
Real cool people. Yeah. So we like Dreamfire's riders.
Absolutely. You're going to be like Dreamfire. So yeah, everything escalates quickly as soon as Patty leaves the room. So basically, I mean, the minute he leaves, I was like, well, that's the end of that. And then, of course, it is. And oh, God, what a good dig that was, though.
And my cousins are so handsome and smart and strong. They are some
strong
boys.
They are, in fact, strong boys. So that, of course, pisses them off. Which, you guys, like, if you react like that, it doesn't help you.
Yeah, I feel like they could have been like, LOL, what are you talking about? I have no idea.
Yeah, they could have been like, yeah, check out my guns, but they're actually
pretty
awesome.
Exactly. I'm strong. Let me punch you in the face.
I mean, everyone knows, so whatever. But yeah, they basically have to send the children back to Dragonstone, which means that Rhaenyra is going to fuck back off to Dragonstone for 10 minutes, which means Patty's going to die.
Patty's about to die. We also get, like, the scene for a minute of Missaria.
Yeah,
still around.
I wanted to talk about that, too. Why is she here? Because I feel like we see her for, like, 2 minutes every 3 episodes.
And she said something about, like, what's been going on at the castle or whatever.
So in the book, I mean, she's supposed to be like the mistress of whispers, and I guess she works for the High Towers.
Oh, okay.
I don't know for sure what's going on with her. I don't know how I feel about the way they've played her in this, because she definitely just seems in the show like she's just there for no reason.
Yeah, she very much is, especially now that, like, Damon and her are not involved anymore. I'm just like, why is she here?
Which is fine if they, like, build on it more in the last couple episodes.
Yeah.
So I'm not, like, ruling it out as being totally.
Yeah, I feel like she's got a secret or she's up to something. And that was kind of, like, a little hint for what we're going to see later. So to be continued on that, I guess.
Yeah, we'll see. But yeah, then we have our, well, there's the stupid fucking scene that we have to talk about. Patty talks about the fucking Song of Ice and Fire again.
Why do we keep trying to make this happen? Stop bringing this up. Stop reminding me.
Stop talking about season 8 of Game of Thrones.
We didn't do anything with this. Like, this prophecy didn't happen.
Correct. It did not. They bring up fucking Azor Ahai.
Stop trying to make Azor Ahai happen. It's not going to happen. Stop rubbing it in my face.
Who the fuck is Azor Ahai supposed to be then?
Jon Snow, I think. But they just, like, made his arc irrelevant, so it didn't matter anyway. Like, yeah, I guess he united people to fight the White Walkers, but he's not the one who beat them, and he's not the one who becomes king, so.
Do you think they can fix it with a Jon Snow show? Because I kind of don't.
I was talking to Rich about that earlier. I don't know.
It's too bad.
How? It just too much happened.
Not that I'm unexcited to watch Jon Snow again.
Oh, yeah, no, but, like, it'd almost be better if they don't try to fix it, and they're just like, here's Jon Snow's new adventures, North of the Wall. Like, doing free folk
but
shit.
Clearly they're going to try to fix it, because they keep trying to fix it in this show, which isn't even relevant to Game of Thrones.
I know.
So, whatever.
Emilia Clarke has said that she would reprise her role, but has also said, how? Because I died.
Well, they got Red Priest.
She's like, if I got brought back to life where it was a flashback, like, yeah, I would reprise my role, but I don't think that that's, like, a possibility.
The Red Priestesses would have to bring her back because Drogon brings her to one because he's very smart. I don't know.
I would love that.
Look, I definitely would be into all of that, but it's, like, a lot to ask for. And I feel like George R. R. Martin would not be on board with any of these things.
No, I don't think so either. But I feel like the ending of the books, if that ever happens in this timeline,
it won't.
We'll have a lot more to do with, like, the Aegon in the books, Fagon, than anything else. Like, I just feel like the show left out a major character that is big in the books. So I think things are going to end a lot differently.
That's true. Who knows?
Too many Aegons.
So many Aegons. So then, yeah, Patty basically thinks that he's continuing his conversation with Rhaenyra, but actually it's Alicent. So she thinks that he has told her to make Aegon the king, which he clearly isn't.
Yeah, this is when having an abundance of Aegons is a problem, because he's talking about the prince, Aegon's dream. He means Aegon the Conqueror's dream about the prince who has promised will unite the realm. She thinks he's saying Prince Aegon, their son, will unite the realm now, which honestly makes more fucking sense. I understand why she thinks that, because the realm is literally divided. And she thinks he's saying, like, yeah, if he becomes king, everybody's going to be chill and we can continue to have peace. So, like, the 4 minutes that she decided, like, yeah, Rhaenyra's going to be queen, everything's going to be okay, over, because she thinks that was his dying wish.
I don't know. This scene just made me mad. It didn't need to be here. She was going to do that anyway.
She was going to do that anyway. I didn't seem like she was from that last scene. She was, like, all buddy-buddy with Rhaenyra again.
I know, but, like,
Rhaenyra
all
again.
Of that whole mini arc didn't
of
need
her
to
almost
be.
Making up and then not, yeah, didn't need
yeah,
to exist.
Yeah,
because
it kind of felt a bit out of place. And, like, I don't know. And then we had to bring fucking season 8 back into it. So, like, why did you do any of that?
Right? Where, like, when someone, like, you know, someone who's, like, the, like, patriarch and the matriarch of the family is about to die, everybody comes together. And then after their death, it's, like, all the
shit
that you've been repressing and holding in comes out. You know, like, the only thing that was holding them together was him. So I feel like that's kind of realistic in terms of just, like, family dynamics.
That's fair.
Yeah, and his last words are, my love. So I don't know. I took that as, like, he was seeing Emma.
That ring that he wears on his finger was Emma's ring that she was wearing in the first episode. So he, like, looks at it all the time. I made a joke in a few episodes back about, like, how he was being Gollum because he was obsessed with his ring, but it's Emma's ring. And so, yeah, that's why he's, like, looking, holding his hand up to, like, because that's the last thing he, like, uses to remember her. So then because he doesn't give a fuck about Alicent. He just, like, had his one love, honestly.
Yeah. Alicent's
his duty.
Yeah, he has affection for her. Like, if he had to marry someone, that's who he picked, but...
Yeah. And did you catch in the previous episode, in episode 7, where he called her Emma?
No. Wait, I missed that.
I can't remember the exact context, but he was basically like, I'm fucking tired of this shit, Emma, or something.
So, oh, no, I didn't even catch that. Oh, my gosh, I'll have to go back and see.
Yeah, it was a pretty good slap in the face to Allison. And I didn't catch it the first time, like, watching through, but yeah, it was pretty good.
And that's how the episode ends. He died.
Yeah, which, okay, fairly obvious that he died. However, it's Game of Thrones, so I always say, like, you don't know for sure until, like, you fucking see the body with the stones on the eyes, or like you see somebody get a head cut off.
Fair.
And then they immediately chop to the spoiler reel. But like, which like, yeah, I thought he was dead. However, this would have been one of those things where everyone would have been talking all week about, is he dead? Is he not dead?
Really? I thought it was super obvious. I thought he died like a few episodes ago, and then the spoiler reel was like, no, he's still alive.
I don't know. Like, yeah, that's exactly it, though. He always has seemed like he's about to die, so you could have very easily convinced me that, like, they were faking us out again, you know?
Yeah, I guess. I would be annoyed by that. I'm like, come on, just kill him off already. It's time.
But then the very first thing they say in the spoiler reel is, the king is dead.
The king is dead. Cool. So
like,
now we're in the timeline of the Dance of Dragons. Like, I feel like this whole, not I feel like, I say that too much. This whole show has been building up. It's like been showing us the events over the course of decades and generations that led to this conflict. And now we're in the timeline of the conflict. So like, there's not gonna be more time jumps or recastings. Like, we're in the thick of it now. Like, the king's dead. It's time to, you know, the quote-unquote Game of Thrones has begun.
I sort of thought that he would die at the end of, either at the end of the season or at the end of the next episode. So I was a little surprised that he died in this one, to be honest. Just because, I mean, there's obviously a lot that's going to happen, but I sort of felt like the main conflict would start in season two. So I was a little surprised that we got this.
Yeah, this whole season being a buildup would make a lot of sense. But
yeah,
there might be more buildup before like the war starts anyway. Like after the death of the king.
I think so, because I mean, now Allison is going to try to fuck around and get her children crowned before Rhaenyra gets back. And so we have that whole thing to kick everything off. So yeah, there's gonna be a lot of drama in the next two episodes.
So much drama. But yeah, I'm sad we're almost done. I don't like it.
I know, this has gone by so fast.
I know.
So two more weeks.
But we're lucky, like a lot of shows lately are only like six episodes. I'm glad this one gave us a full
time. I'm really glad they did 10, and I hope they never fuck around and cut it to less
than
10
in a
season.
Learn your lesson. We need 10.
We know how this ends if you do that, yeah. So yeah, overall thoughts and feelings on this episode today?
I really liked it. Like, I think, I don't know. I don't have any like strong thoughts or feelings on it. I'm just like, I'm invested now in this show. Like, I've liked everything I've seen for like the last couple episodes. It just keeps like building and building and building and building, and I keep getting more attached to the characters that I like. And yeah,
and I think like the score and the cinematography throughout have been really excellent, and I definitely felt that again in this episode, especially when they first arrive in King's Landing. You like get the feeling that it has changed. You see like the differences without them like explicitly being called out, and then the scene where they're having dinner and then Patty leaves, like you feel this shift when he leaves.
The energy shift, yeah.
I think that they handled all of these things very well with just like the colors and the sounds and everything to like give you all these clues aside from the actual plot that's happening, like making you feel very much in the room with everyone. So I think that's been handled really well. And yeah, I thought it was great in this episode.
Yeah, and the acting's so good. There's so much nonverbals that goes on and so much like just like mannerisms and shifts. And it's like impressive because it's such a big cast. So like a lot of, with all the time jumps, like a lot of these actors have not worked together for more than like an episode or two. And there's just like so many nonverbals. So like so many like, you know, small exchanges, looks, like, you know, hand gestures, things like that, that just like really push the plot along. Like there's a lot of like, they're showing us and not telling us, which I like. Because I feel like the last season of Game of Thrones was the opposite.
Yeah. But yeah, I think everyone, speaking of like really good actors with the faces and everything, did you notice when when Damon kills Vaymond, did you notice Aemon's, Jesus Christ,
Damon Vaymond.
Did you notice Aemon's face when Damon killed Vaymond?
No, I didn't.
He was there for it.
Oh, really?
This is how I should act as a Targaryen. He loved it.
Oh, my gosh.
He was
Aemon's unhinged.
I'm here for it. Yeah, he's going to be wild.
Aegon's unhinged, too, but I feel like Aemon's, like, a different kind of unhinged. Like, Aegon's just, like, a fuckboy and an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, Aemon is, like, he's a loose cannon like Damon, I think.
Absolutely, yeah. But, yeah, I was just, like, when I noticed his face in that, I was like, oh, this is a very well-cast person.
Nice.
Should we do some Fuck, Marry, Kills, Christine?
Let's do some Fuck, Marry, Kills.
Do you want to go first, or should I?
I can go first.
Okay. Yeah,
since all these kids are adults now, they said in the after episode they're all like 17 to 21. So I'm going to say 18 to 21, so it's not weird.
Okay.
so Jace, Aegon, and Aemon.
Just making sure that you're talking about Aegon, son of Alicent and Viserys.
Not Aegon, the baby.
Okay, great. Well, let's kill Aemon because he seems terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but then you gotta fuck Aegon.
I gotta fuck Aegon. Because you can't marry that guy.
No. You marry Jace.
You marry Jace. Yep.
Fine. That was a hard one. I'm sorry.
No, it wasn't.
I know. I don't want to do anything with Aemon or Aegon.
I don't want to do anything with any of them, but it wasn't that hard.
Fine.
It's very clear who you need to kill and who you need to marry.
I don't know. I think I'd kill Aegon because he's a rapist.
That's true. You don't think that Aemon is going to start raping everybody up in here? He seems rapey. All right. From this episode, Christine.
Mm-hmm.
I like to put that qualifier out there always. Aegon, the same one you were just talking about. Vaymond and Viserys Targaryen, the Elder.
I'm going to fuck Vaymond. I'm going to kill Aegon. I'm going to marry Viserys.
You're going to marry the skeleton.
Yeah, for like a day until he dies.
Fair enough.
And then I'll just inherit a lot of shit.
All right. That makes sense.
All right. This has been a podcast.
What we do here. Yeah, that was a whole podcast. Christine, do you have anything that you want to plug?
Yes. I want to plug my band Chaos Pixie. We are at Chaos Pixie NYC on Instagram. If you are in the New York area, we have a show coming up in December. So I'll post about it on our Instagram. Yeah, it's going to be at Berlin, which is a bar, not the city, on the Lower East Side in Manhattan. So if you're in New York and you're into feminist pop punk, we're going to be playing our first show.
Sweet.
How about you, Lauren? What are you plugging?
I am plugging, you can follow me on Instagram. It's low_Mazzy. Today am drinking this awesome beer from Athletic Brewing. It's from their pilot program. It's called the Idaho 7 Cashmere IPA. It's pretty delicious.
Is it good?
It's really good.
It looks fancy.
I like it. Well, the pilot program ones are always just the plain can.
Like the chrome.
Yeah, so the pilot program are like, they do small batches, basically. And then sometimes they'll make it again if everyone really likes it. But yeah, if you follow me on Instagram, low_Mazzy, you might be able to get a discount code for Athletic Brewing beers there. They're all non-alcoholic if you're into that. They're also all delicious if you're into beer in general.
Yeah, it's nice to have a good option that's not alcoholic when you're like not in the mood for that.
Yeah, so if you also are a millennial in your 30s, you should try it. Should we plug our podcast, Christine?
Yeah, we have a podcast.
Yeah, have you guys heard of it?
It's called Pod of the Dragon.
Yeah, it's this podcast.
It's this podcast. So you can find us on you probably already did, but you can find us on Anchor or on any streaming platform,
Spotify,
where you can get
Apple
podcasts.
Yep.
And then in addition, we got some social medias. Please email us.
Email us at podofthedragonpodcast@gmail.com and find us on Instagram and Twitter at _podofthedragon. You can also find us on facebook.com/podofthedragon. And best of all, you can find us on Etsy at etsy.com/shop/podofthedragon. We have some really cool stickers on there. We have some really cool shirts on there. Christine is wearing one right now, the Daddy Damon crop top, in case you want to let everyone know what team you're on.
And Lauren's wearing a pretty great black hoodie right now with our logo on it.
Pot of the Dragon.
I don't have that one, but it looks super cozy.
It actually is. I was kind of, I'm not, I'm like, I was kind of surprised, to be honest, because it's pretty cheap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all good quality stuff. Like, this crop top barely fits my boobs. And I was worried it would shrink up in the wash because it's just, like, the soft, nice material. And it didn't. It's, like, really held up, so.
Yeah, and this is, like, a very soft fleece and everything. So I was like, oh, this is a really nice hoodie for the price. So super happy with that.
Yeah, so if you want to rep us, you can go check out our Etsy store. Or there's ways you can support us for free.
Yeah. Yeah. You can also, we already told you where all the social medias are. Go follow us on those. But also, more importantly, if you have a moment to rate our show, write a review for our show, subscribe to our show on wherever you like to listen to it, those things all help us quite a lot. It also really, really helps us if you want to share us either with a friend who you know watches the show, or if you just want to shout us out on social media. Those are free ways that you can support our show that help us a ton. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
And we appreciate you for being here.
We appreciate you. Thanks for listening.
Unless
to our
you're
podcast.
Team Green, fuck you.
I mean, still appreciate you being here, but you're
still
just wrong.
Still appreciate you, but you're wrong.
You're allowed to be wrong.
I think a lot of our listeners, Christine, are Team Black, because if you're still here, you know that Damon is daddy, and you wish you were Rhaenyra.
Rhaenyra is our gaslight, gatekeep, girl boss, problematic queen.
We know it's fucked, but we love it. Okay, well, it's been a podcast.
It's been a podcast.
And dreams didn't make us podcasters, Christine. Dragons did.
Dracarys.
Bye forever.
Bye. He might be raping dragons.
Probably.
Why are we like this?